creations. That creation is called the Visarga, or secondary creation. And the purpose of that creation is to take those elements that have already been created by Krishna and manifest them in such a form, in such a way, that the universe takes its shape, the living entities get their bodies, and all the facilities are there so that the living entities can inhabit and populate the universe. So we heard in the last 2 days of Lord Brahma's attempts, and this first ignorance, then he created the four Kumaras, then out of anger Rudra was created, and then the 10 sages were created, the best of whom was Narada Muni, because the sages tend to be engaged in motive goodness activities which produce happiness on a subtle level, but on a material level. And Narada Muni, being the transcendental, fully transcendental son of Brahma, would travel all over, as we heard in the first canto, playing his veena, which was a gift of the Lord, and giving Krishna consciousness everywhere he could. And whoever Narada Muni decided to show mercy to would become a devotee. So, after the 10 great sages were created, then different other things were created, religion, irreligion, etc. And then there was the pastime of Brahma desiring to have a relationship with his own daughter, and he's being approached respectfully but yet firmly by the sons of his, the sages headed by Marichi, and then finally them praying to the Lord to help Brahma overcome this problem. And by the Lord's grace, Brahma did that and gave up his body. And then finally, Brahma manifested the Vedic culture, all from himself. Then, wishing to create further population, because he noticed that the universe was not being properly populated, or completely enough, Brahma manifests two very powerful personalities, Satyarupa and her husband, Svayambhuva Manu being an incarnation of the Lord, actually, with the potency to rule and to populate. So, after hearing about the birth of these effulgent personalities, Svayambhuva Manu and his wife Satyarupa, Vidura said, or rather Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, this is chapter 13, text 1, Nishamya vacham vadato mune punyattamam nipa buya prapriccha koravyo vasudeva kitadrita. O King, Sukadeva Goswami said to Rajprakrit, after hearing all these most virtuous topics from the sage Maitreya, Vidura inquired further on the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which he adored to hear. So rather than thinking this was sufficient now, he's heard enough, rather he was eager to hear still more. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, he wanted to hear more and more so that he could be more and more blessed by the transcendental message. Vidura said, so the narration continues, Vidura said, O great sage, what did Svayambhuva Manu, the dear son of Brahma, do after obtaining his very loving wife? O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead Hari. And thus, it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear. Persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from the mouths of pure devotees about what? About the character and activities of pure devotees. Pure devotees always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead who awards his devotees liberation. So a very simple definition Vidura is given here of what a pure devotee is. There is more to the definition than that, but he's thinking within his heart always, constantly of Krishna. That means that he's thinking with great devotion, great loving devotion, because pure devotional service has to be anukulena Krishna. It has to be a cultivation that is anukul. The thinking must be in a favorable mood, different from someone like Kamsa or Sisupa, who were intensely enwrapped in thinking about Krishna, but their thinking was not at all anukul, it is called pratikul. Or they were enemy, inimical to Krishna. So that is not considered pure devotional service, even though they were fully thinking about Krishna. So one should hear from a pure devotee about the characteristics and activities of pure devotees. In this way, we are purified and elevated also to pure devotional service. Here's the Prabhupada's purports to these two verses. We'll read those. 3. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. That is all, basically, that is in the Bhagavatam. Narrations about the Lord and the Lord's dealings with each other and the Lord's dealings with his devotees. In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. Therefore, hearing the topics of the Lord and hearing of the character and activities of the pure devotee have the same result, namely development of devotional service. So why? Because one cannot separate the pure devotee from Krishna. So when one talks about or hears about or examines the character of a pure devotee, one will certainly be led either gradually or quickly into topics about Krishna. One can't separate the pure devotees thinking about Krishna any more than one can separate sweetness from sugar. Because, why? Because that is what's called the dharma, or the sadharma of sugar. It's inherent quality. So as souls, we all have the inherent quality of devotion to Krishna within us. And that inherent quality can never leave us. It is actually us. Although we can forget it, although it can be covered temporarily, that is us, that is our identity, actually speaking. So therefore, when someone has manifested his actual identity as servant of Krishna, as lover of Krishna, Krishner Nityadas, then naturally, everything he does will be connected with Krishna. And then hearing about him will naturally be connected with Krishna. Will naturally bring us to topics about Krishna. When Krishna comes to this world, he carries on activities all with his devotees, because Krishna likes to associate with his devotees. So, because the topics about Krishna are the same quality, because as the topics of the devotee of Krishna, Vidura was asking to hear about Krishna and his devotees. And then in text 4, transcendental students are those who undergo great penance in being trained by hearing the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master. Not only must they hear about the activities of the Lord, but they must also hear about the transcendental qualities of the devotees who are constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. So here, Prabhupada is stating that it's not only required that one hear about Krishna, but one must also hear about Krishna's devotees. And what are the qualities of these devotees whom one must hear about? They are always constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. So unless one is pure, one cannot do this. One cannot imitate. It is impossible to imitate this kind of purity unless one possesses this purity. One cannot artificially impose constant thoughts about Krishna in one's heart and mind. But naturally, if one loves Krishna, it naturally occurs, the thinking about Krishna. So this is what it means. This is the symptoms of the pure devotees. They're always thinking, and we must think about them and hear about them. A pure devotee of the Lord cannot be separated from the lotus feet of the Lord for even a moment. Their thoughts dwell in Krishna, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna, conversing about Krishna. This is their pleasure, because in that talk of Krishna, they experience Krishna's presence, the sweetness of Krishna's presence. And for someone who has no devotion, the talks about Krishna are dry, not exciting, and no experience of Krishna within that. So, Shushusho Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syanmat Sevaya Vipropunati Tinasevanat. This is the result, this taste, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, a taste for Krishna Katha. Well, in other words, the acquiring of devotion comes by service of the Mahat, of the great devotees. Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipro. By serving the great devotees, this is the result, that one actually gets a taste to hear Krishna Katha. So the devotees, they cannot be separated from the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord cannot be separated from his devotees. He is in their hearts and they are in his hearts. Undoubtedly, the Lord is always within the hearts of all living creatures. But they hardly know about it because they are deluded by the illusory material energy. The devotees, however, realize the presence of the Lord, and therefore they can always see the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. Such pure devotees of the Lord are as worshipable. Such pure devotees of the Lord are as glorious as the Lord. They are in fact recommended by the Lord as more worshipable than he himself. Worship of the devotee is more potent than worship of the Lord. It is therefore the duty of the transcendental students to hear of pure devotees, as explained by similar devotees of the Lord, because one cannot explain about the Lord or his devotee unless one happens to be a pure devotee himself. So, in this way, by Vidura requesting to hear about the Lord, to hear more, he wasn't finished. He wanted to hear more and more and more. This process of hearing about the Lord and the Lord's devotee, who is no different from the Lord, is being glorified. Text 5. Sukadeva Goswami, after narrating that, he said, the personality of Godhead, then he glorifies Vidura, the asker of the question. How is it that this personality had such a taste, a desire? What kind of quality of a person? He had such a strong desire to hear about Krishna. So, in the glorification of Vidura, Sukadeva Goswami said, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, was pleased to place his lotus feet on the lap of Vidura, because Vidura was very meek and gentle. The sage Maitreya was very pleased with Vidura's words, and being influenced by his spirit, the spirit of inquiry of Vidura, he attempted to speak. Because when there is such an attentive audience, such an exalted devotee like Maitreya feels so impelled to reveal more and more about Krishna, and according to the qualification of the person who's asking the question, who's the primary hearer, the exalted teacher like Maitreya Muni will speak in one depth or another depth of Krishna Katha. So because Vidura was such a powerful devotee, he's going to speak so much Krishna Katha. So here's a purport. The word Sahasra Shirshna is very significant. It is very significant. And it's probably very similar to the word, you know what, Sahasra something else. One who has diverse energies and activities and a wonderful brain is known as Sahasra Shirshna. This qualification is applicable only to the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and no one else. The personality, because Shirshna means the Shirsha, the head, or the brain. So he has such an amazing brain, Krishna. The personality of Godhead was pleased to dine sometimes with Vidura at his home. And while resting, he placed his lotus feet on the lap of Vidur. Maitreya, so this is such a great benediction, that when Krishna, he refused to when he was in Hastinapur, trying to make peace between the Pandavas and the Kauravas before the battle of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana wanted to influence Krishna by feeding him very wonderful food. But Krishna would not eat at the home of Duryodhana, but rather he chose to eat in Vidura's house. And while he was there, while he was resting, he placed his lotus feet on the lap of Vidura. So the lotus feet of Krishna are very wonderful. What's the quality of the lotus feet of Krishna?
They're soft and red.
What color red? Like a madanga? Like that kind of red? Pinkish, soft and pinkish. What else?
Radiant.
Refulgent, radiant. What else?
They give all benedictions.
What else? Cooling. Yeah. What else? They what? Yeah, his toenails are like lotus, and also very, very effulgent. What else?
It also says that his toenails are like 10 full moons.
Mm.
24 and a half.
10
syllables.
Full moons.
24 and a half syllables for me, water.
Mm. What else? What other characteristic of Krishna's lotus feet?
Lotus flower.
Lotus flower. Marked with lotus flower.
Flag.
Disc. And yes, elephant rod, gada, yeah, thunderbolt. What else about Krishna's lotus feet?
Boats.
Are they compared to boats? They certainly can take us across the ocean. Yeah, well, read it somewhere. Was it a Krishna conscious book, or it must be like boats, because if we get on the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna's lotus feet, we cross the ocean. There's one other quality that I was thinking of. They're fragrant, very, very fragrant. So these, and also the lotus feet of Krishna are no different from any other part of his body. They're fully powerful, all powerful. Very wonderful. Soft, they're so soft. actually any part of Krishna's body is so soft that if it's any part is touched even slightly, it turns pinkish. So soft and delicate. Krini Krisheshu Kundirtayam. Yes. Why? How was Krishna all right when those soft, delicate feet would walk on the ground of Braja, which was covered, sometimes there were pebbles, and he would be Trina Charanugam Trina Ketanam. He would be following the cows, and the cows would sometimes go here and there, so he would follow them, thorns. How would his feet not be hurt?
He's strong.
Huh?
All strong, all backwards.
He has all powerful feet.
All strong.
They're also all soft. Yes?
Very strong.
Most, even while they're soft, they're strong. Because the stones of Braja are composed of tinmaya. They're spiritual. They're not like the nasty stones of this world. If we walk around and follow the cows, we'll get thorns and hurt our feet. So this was the mood actually of the gopis. They were worrying only about that Krishna would be hurt. His lotus feet would be somehow inconvenienced. These wonderful lotus feet. So when Vidura was so fortunate that Krishna took those lotus feet and placed them on the lap of Vidura. So Maitreya was inspired by the thought of Vidura's wonderful fortune. The hairs of his body stood on end, and he was pleased to narrate the topics of the personality of Godhead with great delight. So Maitreya said to Vidura, after his appearance, Manu, the father of mankind, along with his wife, thus addressed the reservoir of Vedic wisdom, Brahma, with obeisances and folded hands. So, after appearing, Vidura is asking what happened, and Maitreya began to speak about what Manu did. Manu said, you are the father of all living entities, to Brahma, and the source of their subsistence, because they are all born of you. Please order us how we may be able to render service unto you. O worshipable one, worshipful one, please give us your directions for the execution of duty within our working capacity so that we can follow it for fame in this life and progress in the next. So here was the sons that Brahma was looking for, because his first sons were the Kumaras. They were exalted in knowledge, and for good reason, for spiritual reasons, they refused to follow the order of Brahma. They didn't want to get entangled in household life. So they refused. And then, so we can compare different kinds of sons. So there's the son who for the proper reason refuses, for a fully spiritual reason, refuses to follow. And then, the next was born who? Which sons? The Rudras. The Rudra was born. And he agreed to follow, but he followed it in such a way that it caused disturbance. So one son doesn't follow because of knowledge, the other follows, but an improper way. And then there are those who don't follow for the wrong reasons, which those aren't mentioned over here. Like the naughty sons in the material world who don't want to follow Krishna's order, but for all the wrong reasons, not for on the reason of spiritual knowledge, but so that they can enjoy. They think it's going to be inconvenient if they follow anyone's orders. And then here is the son that Brahma was looking for, who is going to follow, but for the right reasons. To make spiritual progress. And following the orders of Brahma, who is the spiritual master. So, Prabhupada names the disciplic succession here. Brahma is the direct recipient of Vedic knowledge from the personality of Godhead, and anyone discharging his entrusted duties in disciplic succession from Brahma is sure to gain fame in his life, because fame will follow the devotee, and salvation also in the next. And then he names the disciplic succession. Prabhupada names the disciplic succession from Brahma down to himself, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And then he says, the line of disciplic succession from Brahma is spiritual, whereas the genealogical succession from Manu is material. So we're going to hear about the genealogical succession, the seminal succession from Manu. But both are on the progressive march towards the same goal of Krishna consciousness. So Lord Brahma was so happy, and he replied, my dear son, O Lord of the world, I am very pleased with you, and I desire all blessings for both of you, both you and your wife. You have, without reservation, surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instructions. Now here's an interesting cultural point. Something, this is so out of fashion nowadays in contemporary civilization. The relationship between the father and the son is always sublime. The father is naturally disposed with goodwill towards the son, and he is always ready to help the son in his progress in life. But in spite of the father's goodwill, the son is sometimes misguided because of his misuse of personal independence. Every living entity, however small or big he may be, has the choice of independence. If the son is unreservedly willing to be guided by the father, if he's willing, fully willing to be guided by the father is 10 times more eager to instruct and guide him by all means. The father and son relationship, as exhibited here in the dealings of Brahma and Manu, is excellent. Both the father and the son are well qualified, and their example should be followed by all humankind. Manu, the son, unreservedly, completely asked the father Brahma to instruct him. And the father, who was full of Vedic wisdom, was very glad to instruct. The example of the father of mankind may be rigidly followed by mankind, and that will advance the cause of the relationship of fathers and sons. So Manu continued, Brahma continued, O hero, he spoke so nicely to his son, your example is quite befitting a man in relationship with his father. This sort of adoration for the superior is required. One who is beyond the limit of envy and who is sane accepts the order of his father with great delight and executes it to his full capacity. Prabhupada in the purport talks about the four Kumaras who didn't get any bad reaction, for no negative bad karma was accrued for them refusing to follow Brahma because they were spiritually motivated, not selfishly motivated. But Prabhupada explains, if someone doesn't follow their father on material grounds, selfish grounds, is subject to disciplinary action for their disobedience. This is culture, teaches us. Text 11. Since you are my very obedient son, here is what I want you to do. I ask you to beget children, qualified like yourself, in the womb of your wife. Rule the world in pursuance of the principles of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus worship the Lord by performance of jagya. So this is the basic principles of society, how to organize society, just on these things. One gets married, one has children through one's legitimate wife, one does one's duty. Manu's duty was to rule the world, and one should do one's duty according to the principles of devotional service to the Lord, and also one should worship the Lord by performance of jagya. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The purpose of the material creation by Lord Brahma is clearly described herein. Because if one lives his life in this way, following these very simple principles, even though one is in the material world, and even though one will satisfy one's desires, material desires, one will nevertheless make advancement. So this is the purpose of the material creation, that one should make advancement. Every human being should beget nice children in the womb of his wife as a sacrifice for the purpose of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated, Vanashrama Charavata Purushena Parapumam Vishnuradite Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam. One can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu by proper discharge of the principles of vana and ashrama. There is no alternative to pacifying the Lord by execution of the principles of the vanashrama system. So this is the system to please Krishna by making gradual progress, by performing one's duty and making gradual progress. So Prabhupada continues. Vishnu worship is the ultimate aim of human life. Those who take license of married life for sense enjoyment must also take the responsibility to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. And the first stepping stone is the Vanashrama Dharma system. Vanashrama Dharma is the systematic institution for advancing in worship of Vishnu. However, if one directly engages in the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it may not be necessary to undergo the disciplinary system of Varnashrama Dharma. The other sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, directly engage in devotional service, and thus they had no need to execute the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. So therefore, even though Varnashrama Dharma is mentioned and it is recommended, still, it is external. So when Ramananda Roy suggested that this is the way to please Krishna, Mahaprabhu said, Iha Bhaya, this is external. Even though it is recommended, it is to take something material, because we are in the material world, and gradually move us towards devotional service. But it is external to what actually pleases the Lord, which is devotion. So, Manu was given practical instructions by Brahma. O king, he said, if you can give proper protection to the living beings in the material world, that will be the best service for me. When the Supreme Lord sees you to be a good protector of the conditioned souls, certainly the master of the senses will be very pleased with you. Prabhupada explains in the purport. That is the purpose of the complete administrative system. In other words, when one has any position of responsibility, guru na sasyat, sajana na sasyat, pita na sasyat, if one has any position, na mokshed ya samupeti mityum, that one should take one's position of responsibility in relationship with helping, protecting, and helping those subordinate to him advance in Krishna consciousness. So this is the purpose of the complete administrative system. And that is pleasing to Krishna. One who knows this secret as disclosed here in the version of Brahma is the perfect administrative head. One who does not know this is a show-bottle administrator. By training the citizens in devotional service of the Lord, the head of state can be free of his responsibility. Otherwise, he will fail in the onerous duty entrusted to him and thus be punished by the supreme authority. There is no other alternative than the discharge of administrative duty. So this is actually the purpose of the administrators. They have to help their praja, their subordinates advance. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardhan, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. So this is important, because he is called Janardana. Janardana has many meanings. One is the protector of the people, or the giver to the people, and the other, there are other meanings as well. But his business, because Brahma told Manu that he should please the Lord by sacrifice. So he is the one to accept sacrifice, and sacrifices are done according to the Vedic system. So if he is not satisfied, then one's labors for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests. So this is an interesting purport, and this will probably be the last purport we'll read. Is it too hot for everyone? Yeah, okay. Why don't you... Huh? The fence. Hard for me. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Now, the point that Prabhupada picks up and expands is that Krishna is the... We have to sacrifice to Krishna. And because he is the ultimate self. And just as when we go about our day's work, we act to please ourself. But the problem is that no one knows who their self actually is. So because we act to please ourselves, but without any knowledge of who the self is, therefore the self is not actually pleased. An example that was sometimes given is there's a picture in the Bhagavad Gita of there's a bird in the cage, and the cage is well taken care of, but the bird itself isn't fed, so naturally the bird dies. It is not happy. It stops singing. So similarly, the cage, the material body, we misconstrue the body for the self, and or the mind for the self, and we continuously take care of the body and the mind. But because the soul, the bird, is unnourished by that type of care, the soul practically dies. And that is the current situation nowadays. The soul, it is a soulless civilization. So here's Prabhupada's purport. Brahma is deputed as the supreme head of universal affairs. And he, in his turn, deputes Manu and others as charge d'affaires of the material manifestation. But the whole show is for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma knows how to satisfy the Lord. And similarly, persons engaged in the line of Brahma's plan of activities also know how to satisfy the Lord. The Lord is satisfied by the process of devotional service, consisting of the ninefold process of hearing, chanting, etc. It is in one's own self-interest to execute prescribed service, prescribed devotional service. And anyone who neglects this process neglects his own self-interest. Everyone wants to satisfy his senses, but above the senses is the mind, and above the mind is the intelligence. Above the intelligence is the individual self, and above the individual self is the super self. Above even the super self is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva. The primeval Lord and the cause of all causes is Sri Krishna. The complete process of devotional service is to render service for the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of Lord Krishna, who is known as Janardana. So if someone does that, if one actually has that consciousness that I'm going to do this actually for Krishna's pleasure, let him be pleased by this activity. That is satisfying for Krishna. And that, because it's satisfying for Krishna, Yatma supasidati, the soul itself becomes satisfied. The example given in the Bhagavatam is like when we water the root of the tree, then all the branches and leaves become nourished. So when we pushti tushti chudapaya anugasan, that when we engage in devotional service, we feel satisfied. We lose our desire for material happiness. And we become stronger in Krishna consciousness. It is in our self-interest to give up selfishness and serve Krishna. So then, after getting these instructions, Manu asked, where should I perform them? Where I will abide by your order, he said, O powerful Lord, O killer of the sins, of all sins. Now please let me know my place and that of the living entities born of me. Where should we live? Where should I perform these activities? O master of the demigods, please attempt to lift the earth, which is merged in the great water, because it is the dwelling place for all the living entities. It can be done by your endeavor and by the mercy of the Lord. So, at this point, the earth had fallen into the ocean, the Gaubadak ocean. And seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time to understand how it could be lifted. Because Manu, for the creation to go on, the earth had to be lifted. Brahma thought, while I have been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge and has gone down into the depths of the ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation? It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. So we saw that when, in the previous chapter, when the sages, headed by Marichi, were in difficulty, they ultimately said, only Krishna can help. Please, Krishna, you are the Lord. Please take care. So Brahma also, even though he's so powerful, even though he was just praised by Manu, Manu said, oh powerful Lord, oh killer of all sins. He was so powerful. Brahma immediately understood, he knew his position. Regardless of the fact that he was so powerful. And he immediately said, it is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. So this is such good instructions for us. Even if we are the most powerful person in the universe, and we're not, we should take our direction and instructions from the Lord and act for his pleasure. O sinless Vidura, all of a sudden, while Brahma was engaged in thinking, a small form of a boar came out of his nostril. A boar, like a hog, Varaha. Varaha toko. A minute form of Varaha, the boar, came out of his nostril. The measurement of the creature was not more than the upper portion of a thumb. So a little form came out. So we'll hear more about Varaha next time. And this Varaha who came out is going to do something wonderful. He is actually Krishna. And he's the first of the incarnations of Krishna that appears after the creation. And what form has he taken? He's not all beautiful in the sense of possessing a beautiful human-like form. He's not seemingly all-powerful, but he's in the form of a boar, which is considered a hog, a lowly animal. But yet, as we heard before, he is Janardana. And he is the one that all the Vedic sacrifices are meant to please. So this shows that whatever form Krishna is in, he is still Krishna. He is still the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, regardless of the form that he is in. Even if he's in the form of a small boar, the size of a fingernail, he's still all-powerful. And he is still suitable to receive the results of the, receive all Vedic sacrifices. In other words, he is worshipable by the Vedic Jasabhara. So this is so important to understand, because gradually, again, what the Bhagavatam is doing is purifying us and giving us tattva. It's giving us transcendental knowledge about the truth, and it's purifying us and preparing us to understand Krishna in the 10th canto. So when we understand from Varahadev, and we'll hear more about this later, that whatever form the Lord in is completely transcendental. Whatever he does is completely transcendental. So that means also that everything that Krishna does is completely transcendental. And this concept, whether he's sucking his mother's breast, whether he's breaking a pot of milk, whether he's stealing the clothes of the gopis, whether he's dancing with the gopis, whether he's playing his flute, whether he's killing Sankachuda, whether he's killing Agasura, whether he's killing Trinavarta, whether he's in a little form of a baby, or the most beautiful cowherd boy with a peacock feather upon his head, whatever form Krishna is in, whatever he's doing, it is completely transcendental. Having nothing to do with the material world. That means that when Krishna is dancing with the gopis, it has nothing to do with material lust whatsoever. Karmendriya priti. Atmaendriya priti. Tare bali kam. When we satisfy Krishna's senses, when we satisfy our own senses, that is called kam or lust. But when Krishna's senses are satisfied, Krishnendriya priti, it's just dari premanam. That is called prema or love. Because Krishna is completely transcendental, regardless of what he's doing, regardless of what the reflection of his activities is like morally in the material world. Everything that he does is, he kills Kamsa, his uncle. That's horrible. But when Krishna does it, it's wonderful. That is the definition of good. When Krishna does something, it is transcendental and having nothing to do with the material world. So this is very important, that Varaha comes, the first incarnation of the Lord is a boar, in the form of a boar, to show that regardless of the form of the Lord, whatever form he takes, he is always the transcendental Lord. And everything he does is fully transcendental beyond matter. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
You were mentioning that the pure devotee, Krishna, are not separable.
Inseparable, yeah.
They are one.
Because Krishna says this to Durvasa Muni, that the devotees, I am in the heart of my devotees, and the devotees are in my heart, because they're always thinking about each other, and in the sense also one, in the sense that they are one in interest. The devotee has made his desire to serve Krishna. Kutosto, in the Bhagavad Gita, that word is used. They are one. But not one in the sense that they lose their individuality, but one in the sense that they have one interest, and that one interest is to serve, to please Krishna. That's Krishnendriya priti. It's dari premanam. It's prema. Out of love, the devotees are one with Krishna in that sense. Although they are individuals and they serve Krishna and try to please Krishna in their individual way. But not one in the same way that the impersonalists say that we are one with God. Because their meaning is that we lose our individuality, but the devotees are one with individuality, so they're simultaneously one and different from Krishna. They're one with Krishna because they want to please Krishna. There's no discordance between the desires of the devotees and the desires of Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki.